Welcome back to Fresh Tracks from SDPB, and our musical guide, as always, is David Herzrud from Sturgis. There are a lot of big weekends throughout the year for music. This is one of them coming up on Sunday night with the Grammy Awards. I took a look through some of the major categories, like Record of the Year, Album of the Year, New Artist, and there's a lot of familiar names, and there's also some names you may not be aware of, but I had heard the name Bad Bunny. What do you see in some of those lists?
This is the 65th annual Grammy Award. Very honestly, while the program has lost a lot of its luster over the past few years, it's still the most important night of the year for the music industry. I could spend a lot of time breaking down the nominees and adding my voice to the chorus of critics who will complain about the artists that should have been nominated and the artists who were. I'm going to skip my usual critique and suggestion that people tune in, relax, and enjoy. They are going to see productions of Bad Bunny, who, believe it or not, is the number one artist in the world. There's also going to be Brandi Carlile, who I just absolutely love. She's up for Album of the Year, Record of the Year, and Best Rock Performance. Luke Combs, who's up for two Grammy Awards himself. It's going to be an interesting evening, and I recommend that people watch it.
I did not know that Bad Bunny was one of the top-selling artists in the world. But there is a wonderful expose on a weekend program that we carry here on SDPB Radio called Code Switch. And they did a very in-depth discussion about Bad Bunny in a program a week and a half ago. So if you look up the archive online from NPR for Code Switch, you can get a little background. And my kudos to you. You have a way of digging around and finding interesting new artists or new music from familiar names. And two of the nominees for Best Artist, you helped make me aware of this past year. Maneskin and Wet Leg are two of those that are up in that category.
They're both artists that slash bands that I really, really like.
In any one of the major award shows, there's a time when they pay tribute to people from various facets within the industry who they've lost during the past year. I'm sure we'll see a tribute Sunday night on the Grammy Awards show for Jeff Beck and David Crosby.
Yeah, and you have to remember that both of these artists, their passing was quite unexpected. Crosby was in the process of getting ready to record a new album and taking a tour.
Well, I came upon the child of God. He was walking along the road, and I asked him, tell me, where are you going, Mr. Coleman?
I mean, I like David Crosby. Most people probably know he was a founding member of the Byrds back in 1964, and Crosby, Stills, and Nash, which later became Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. I would say he's probably rock and roll's unlikeliest survivor. He was outspoken politically and had a very nasty habit of alienating friends and bandmates. He started with the Byrds and the beginning of folk rock. And he helped steer the band through their first five albums and then ended up being fired. I prefer the term dismissed because of internal tensions in the band. David himself would admit, say later, that they threw me out because I was an, and you can fill in the blank there. But yeah. They still invited him back to produce their 1973 reunion album. And they produced three gold albums in the 70s and stayed active until about 2016. David himself recorded six solo albums, the last one entitled For Free, which came out in 2021 and was one of my favorite albums. He was working on a new album and a tour when he died.
I once rode with an angel through the heart royal car drive.
He was was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice for his work with the Byrds, and again as part of CSN. Along the way, he survived injury, illness, and I would say stupidity. He spent 9 months in a Texas jail because of drugs and weapons charges. One of the things I really admired about him is because what happens with a lot of artists as they age, start getting into their 60s and 70s, their voice has a tendency to change. But David Crosby never did. I'm not sure how he did it, considering, you know, the type of individual he was. You could pick up a David Crosby album from 2021 and one from 1973 and just marvel at the way his voice maintained.
His voice was strong. He never had to change keys down on the music to keep up with it. I might argue, though, that the most unlikely rock and roll survivor might be Keith Richards, you know, as opposed to Crosby. But I wanted to ask you, in your time with Atlantic, it was about the time when Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, everybody did a solo album within about 12 or 18 months. You were involved in that, and you had a chance to get to know him. What were your impressions of that David Crosby?
He was the kind of individual that you just had to enjoy the moment, because you never knew what he was going to say or what he was going to do. And I think that's what made him so welcome in the music industry, because everybody knew that the man was incredibly talented. And if you didn't have to work with him, that made it even better. You know, his first album when it came out, that was panned by the critics, unbelievably so. We got a lot of static at the Branch in Chicago because they wanted to bust this album wide open. It's interesting that 50 years later, people are saying, changed their opinions on it and saying it's one of the best albums he ever did.
And it doesn't sound like 1971. It sounds like 30 years later, as far as how music is created and presented. So maybe it's just a misunderstanding of him potentially being ahead of his time.
Well, I think at that particular point in time when that album came out, a lot of people were taking a look at what he'd done in the past. Mm-hmm. Getting drummed out of the Byrds was a major problem for him. He didn't care. It was, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to make music the way I want to, and if you don't like it, tough.
Another name that'll come up is Jeff Beck, someone who is tremendously talented but not always interested in being the front man.
His passing also was quite unexpected. Of course, he's not as well known as other guitar heroes of that era. You know, Eric Clapton, Jimmy Page, Carlos Santana, Hendrix, David Gilmour of Pink Floyd, and Pete Townshend of The Who. He was known as the guitarist, and being one of the most influential musicians of his generation.
Sick and hard and lonely, deep in dark despair, thinking one thought only, where is he, tell me where?
He started recording or playing professionally in 1962. And was recruited to play with the Yardbirds after Eric Clapton left the band in 1965. He stayed with the band only 20 months, but they had their biggest hits while he was there. One of the things he wanted his own band. He started the Jeff Beck Group with Ronnie Wood on bass and a singer named Rod Stewart. It's a wonderful, wonderful album. Their innovative approach to heavy-sounding blues and rock is credited with starting heavy metal music. From that point on, Jeff played with many different bands and helped start some, like Beck, Bogart, and The Peace. He worked with a band for a few years and then move on to the next challenge. In 1975, he began a solo career and came out with Blow by Blow, and if you haven't heard the album, I would recommend it to just about anyone. It ushered in the fusion movement in which they meld rock, jazz, and funk.
I appreciate musicians, because I'll put Keith Richards and Jeff Beck in kind of the same category for experimenting with tuning on a guitar. But Beck didn't always use a pick. He was not necessarily a finger picker, but would use the flat part of his thumb or his first finger, which would give a little different sound along with that tuning. You have Jeff Beck's sound, completely different and unique.
He worked with so many different people, Clapton, Page, David Gilmour, Kate Bush, Kelly Clarkson, John Bon Jovi, and Roger Waters. Along the way, he was inducted twice into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a member of the Yardbirds and as a solo artist. He received 16 Grammy nominations and won 8 times. He's credited with introducing fuzz, feedback, and distortion to the guitar lexicon. One thing, he never lost his stature as one of the most skilled, admired, and influential guitarists in rock history. While he never made the big time, he said, when you look around and see who has made it, you realize that it's a rotten place to be. I just loved it.
Yeah, that may say it all. The individuals are gone, but the music lives on. Just sit back and relax and enjoy the Grammys. Thanks, David. Take care.
Thank you.
Something everybody everywhere does in the same.